Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Welcome to yet another podcast from thewalk.se. The ongoing story about becoming a minimalist vagabond while walking from Stockholm to Sydney. Last time I left you, I just arrived in Mobile. I had a great time there. I stayed there for a couple of days, enjoyed some really, really great southern hospitality from Maria and Michael there. I recorded the last podcast on the Friday during the day, and that Friday evening, they had some of their family, their sons and daughters and grandchildren come around, and we had a traditional shrimp boil, a great big pot. We put in some onions and potatoes and sausages, some spices, and then boil it all up. Finally, in the last sort of 5 minutes or so, you put some shrimp in and you serve it all up and eat it. And it was a great thing, traditional thing, and we also had crayfish with that as well. And they actually had something that I haven't seen before. Crayfish for me isn't all that strange because we eat crayfish in Sweden as well. But they actually had a nice impact molded plastic table that you just set it right on top of a garbage tin, and you got four places where you could pour crayfish into small little indentation plate-like things, and you had little holders for your beer or your drink or whatever you were drinking, and you could just throw the rubbish from the crayfish, and they generated a lot of rubbish straight in the middle, down the hole, and you could just sit around it, enjoy some crayfish, have a beer or a drink or whatever you were drinking, and just throw the rubbish straight in the bin. Never seen one of those before, and during the crayfish parties in Sweden, it probably wouldn't be a bad idea to have something similar. It would certainly and got rid of all the rubbish pretty quickly. And then we had the shrimp boil, which was nice too. So it was a pretty traditional and nice. It was nice to meet their family. What a nice, pleasant evening all around. Saturday, we went sightseeing in Mobile. Went into the city center of the town and had a walk around and had a look around the farmer's market that was there. It was Saturday mornings. It was a farmer's market. Quite nice. Mobile was a nice little town. The center of town seemed to be a little bit empty, but they seemed to be trying to rejuvenate it, so it was quite nice. And we walked around, and in one of the parks there, they actually had parking meters that had been repurposed them. Instead of using them as parking meters, they had them around this park, and you could actually put money in them, and the money went straight to helping homeless people in the area, which is a pretty cool idea. They also had a big board, sort of a blackboard, where you could write what you wanted to do before you die. And, I naturally had to write something there, and I think you can all guess what I wrote there. After that, we went out and had a nice bit of lunch, and then came back to prepare for a group of people coming in the evening. Part of their church group, and they were all going to come and we're going to have some eat and a little party and play a few games in the evening. And it was proved to be a very, very nice, relaxing evening, meeting a few new people, talking about all sorts of stuff, showing off the cart and enjoying some good food and playing some games, everything from Trivial Pursuit to throwing bean bags into a hole and getting points for it. So it was a nice, pleasant evening. And we finished off, or the food finished off with some homemade ice cream that I'd actually helped. So it was actually hand churned by yours truly, at least partially anyway. So it was quite nice. But Sunday morning, it was time to head off again. I had to get west, so I actually get to the other side of this gigantic country at some time. And it was a long day's walking, and I ended up getting just past Wade before the end of the evening. It was actually quite difficult to find anywhere to camp because of all the recent rain. All the forests were more like swamps and forests, and all the area around there there was no really, really good place to camp. And I thought I saw some places on the map that might have been okay, but they turned out to be much too wet. And I kept walking along the road and trying to find some place, and it was getting darker and darker. And I finally just had to go down, and I've actually found a boat launching ramp where I could camp. And I actually camped right on the edge of the swamp, with just enough room for the tent and not far from the highway. But it felt a little bit odd maybe camping there, but it turned out quite nice. I mean, I just camped there from 8 o'clock in the evening when the sun sets till 7 o'clock in the morning, so it doesn't really make all that much difference. What was interesting though, I had to get the camp, the tent set up really quickly because there were a lot of bugs and they were really, really getting to me. I got the tent set up and I hopped in and I lay down and I was listening to all the sounds, and there was a lot of really strange sounds, a lot of croaking and birds and frogs, and I don't know what everything was making noise in that swamp. And I kind of regret, I should have really thought of getting the recorder out and recording all the sound, because there were a lot of sound. But I spent most of the evening listening to all the sounds around me, and I eventually fell asleep somewhere in the night and woke up in the early morning, packed it all up, and set off again. Another day's warm walking, still heading west and basically trying to follow the Southern Tier cycle route. There wasn't a lot of services along the way, but I managed to find a few things to eat and managed to get some coffee, and I headed on. And towards the end of the day, it was reasonably early in the evening, it was about 4 or 5 o'clock, I happened up on a clearing in one of the forests, and the forest had actually gotten a little bit drier, and the ground was drier. It was more like a pine forest plantation that I was walking through. And a little road led into a small clearing in one of these pine forest plantations. And it appeared to have been cleared for beehives, that there had been a lot of beehives. I could see sort of residue from beehives there. But now it was all empty, and it was a perfect little campsite for me. So I rolled in there and pitched up the tent, and it was quite a warm day, so I actually tried to use just the inner tent and then use my tarp as a sun shield above that to get a little better of get the air moving a little bit better, and so that the tent didn't get quite as hot. It was still quite warm in the tent though, but it was a nice, perfect little campsite, and I could just relax there, and I read a little bit and relaxed and took it quite easy. Next day, I headed on and I reached Saucière. As I headed into town there, I found what was, this was actually a little bit off the Southern Tier route, because I could see on the map that there were no services anywhere, and I actually wanted to get into a small town to get something to eat and a cup of coffee. There was an RV campsite there, and it wasn't a huge campsite, but it was it looked pretty well tended and clean, and it was right next to the highway. But I thought, oh well, I haven't had a shower for a while, 3 days, and it's been hot days walking, and I was probably starting to smell a fair bit, even though I'd been washing myself off every night. I still imagined that my clothes and I was starting to stink a fair bit. So I thought, oh, I'll see if I can check in there, and I can have a shower, and then I can just grab something to eat in the little town that was there. But despite the fact that there was a nice grassy places there, and it was more or less empty, the RV site, when I rocked in there and asked the lady in the reception if I could sort of camp there for the night, she said, no, we don't do tents. And I was a little bit surprised, but I didn't really feel like arguing with her, because I couldn't understand how somebody that's running a small campground, admittedly for RV sites, that was almost empty, wouldn't want to make some money by selling me a campsite for the night. But there you go. So what I did, I walked 200 yards up the road, actually closer to the center of town, and just behind some trees, there was a pine tree plantation, and I snuck in there and put the tent up and spent the night there instead. Didn't cost me anything, you know. It was quite all right, and it was just far enough off the road and into the forest that no one could see me. Next morning, I hopped up and got some breakfast. More coffee was the most important part there, at the local service station, and then headed off. I was back heading towards the Southern Tier cycle route again, and I'd planned to walk to a place called Rogers Lake, which was marked as having a really nice, I didn't know at that time, but it marked as having a campsite. So I walked a long hot day and arrived at Rogers Lake, and turned out that it was a little community with small houses, no shops or anything, but and they actually had a small campground, just a primitive small grass campground that was only meant for bikers, cross-country bikers. It was a special sort of campground that the lady that lives there had wanted to. She was approached by the people in that make the Southern Tier cycle route maps, the American Adventure Cycling Association or something it's called. And she'd agreed to do that because she felt that was quite nice. So she liked meeting and talking to a lot of the bikers that came through. And she asked me, when I went in and asked if I could camp there for the night, she said, well, it's for are you bicycling? I was looking pretty hot. So I think she more or less assumed that I was riding a bicycle. And I said, no, I'm actually walking. I said, oh, well that's okay then. So I could stay there for the night. It was quite cheap. And the best thing about it was that I could have a shower for the first time in 4 days. So that felt really, really good. Mrs. Ella Rogers, the lady that runs the place, was a nice old lady, and she offered to make me coffee the next morning. So I hopped up the next morning, started packing all my stuff together, and then came down and had a nice cup of coffee in the morning, and sat talking to Mrs. Rogers there for a while before I headed off. That day actually proved to be quite a difficult day. I wasn't planning on walking very far. It was only about 20 miles into Poplarville. I keep saying Poplarville for some reason, but it's called Poplarville. And as I said, it was only 20 miles. It should have been a reasonably easy day, but I was having a hard time, and I was actually, I think I was starting to get a little bit dehydrated. The days had been reasonably hot leading up to this, and I had been concentrating on drinking a lot of water, but I apparently needed even more, so I concentrated on drinking a lot of water during the day. Eventually, a little bit more tired than I really should have been, I arrived in Poplarville, and and found the campsite that was marked on the map there. And that proved to be a very, very nice Hacienda camp, RV campgrounds. And I rolled in there and paid my $10 to stay there for the night. The gentleman looked at me and asked what I was doing, and I started talking about walking, how I was walking, and how it had been hot. And he wondered if I had enough to drink, and I said, yeah, I've got water. I had a big gallon jar of water that I was going to carry around with me and force myself to drink during the evening. And he said, well, look, go and have a look in the fridge over there and get out one of those jars. And I went over and I got a small jar out, and it was a light yellow liquid, and it was in a jar, an ordinary jam jar. And he said, now drink that. And it turned out to be a mixture of apple juice and cider and a few other things and moonshine. And it was a nice, sweet little pick-me-up, and I sat there in the cool of his office, enjoying the drink, talking for a little while. And it was rather fitting that on the front of his desk he had a sign that it says, nice is important, which it definitely is. So he was just being a real gentleman and just relaxing there for a while. It was really, really nice. Because nice matters, the sign says, actually. Next day, I walked to Bugalusa. And I didn't really find a good place to camp there. Bugalusa wasn't the nicest sort of town, so I just got a cheap hotel room there for the night. I was feeling a little bit lazy, but I was feeling a lot better. It was a nice walk in there, and I'd been drinking a lot, and I actually felt a lot better that day. Next day, it was off from Bugalusa towards Franklinton, and Again, it wasn't a real long walk, a little bit more than 20 miles. It was a nice day's walking. I was quite enjoying it. I stopped in Franklin to get something to eat. And just coming out of the western edge of town, there's a bridge over a river. And as I crossed there, it was still reasonably early in the afternoon, but I thought, oh, this would be a perfect campsite. I'd be able to wash myself in the river, and there were some green places to camp on. So I thought, oh, this would be a nice site. I could probably just stay there for the night. So I rolled down off the bridge down into the site, and there were a few people splashing around the river going there for a swim. And I sort of went off to one side under the bridge, and I actually found another guy there. I walked up to him, and we said hello, and we started talking a little bit. And it turned out to be Jeff. He was a homeless guy, and before long I found out that he'd actually been more or less living under this bridge for 4 years. He'd been working that day and just got back from work, and he was just sitting down and relaxing, and he'd bought a couple of beers, and he was just going to have a beer and relax before he had a wash in the river and settle down for the evening. And so he offered me a beer, and we sat there talking for a while, and he wondered what I was doing, and I said that, well, you know, I explained what was going on, and he invited me to stay. He said, well, you might as well just camp out here for the night, and no one ever hassles me down here, he says. People are very nice, so just stay here for the night. And I think he quite enjoyed having a bit of company to talk to, so yeah, I camped down there for the night, and we sat there, and he actually produced, from out of the bushes, he produced some cooking utensils and a gas stove, and he'd bought a couple of steaks, so he made us some steaks, and we sat there drinking a few beers, talking about everything. And I offered to pitch in, you know, for the beer and that, and he actually said that, no, you're my guest here, and so I'm going to pay for this. I'm not going to pay for anything. That you are my guest here under the bridge. How's that for southern hospitality, eh? Well, we spent the evening talking just about everything and eventually fell asleep. Now, in the morning, we got up, and on the other side of the bridge, we walked back to the other side and had some coffee at the local McDonald's there for breakfast. And when we were sitting there talking, I was about to head off, and I thought, well, what I really should do, haven't been really good at recording other people, getting them here on the podcast. I thought I asked Jeff if it would be all right if he could tell the story of how he lost his home in Hurricane Katrina. And yeah, he was quite happy to do that. So what we did is we walked back over the bridge down into the shade and recorded a small, I wouldn't call it an interview, but a small little story where Jeff tells what happened when Katrina came through and how he lost his home. Now, the sound quality is not that great. It was recorded on the side of the highway. There's a lot of background noise, and you can actually hear crickets and insects in the background all the time. But don't worry about that. It's an interesting story, and here it is. I'm here in Franklinton with my new buddy Jeff. And I just met him yesterday, and he's been really hospitable. We've hung out during the night, and we've had a couple of beers, and we just had a bit of breakfast, enjoyed ourselves, and we've been talking about everything, haven't we?
Yeah, man, we sure have, man.
Yeah, yeah, and one of the things we started talking about was how you lost your house in Katrina. And I was thinking, yeah, maybe you could tell us a bit about that.
Oh, yeah, man. Let me tell you, like I say, when Katrina first started, it was on started on a Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
I took my mom's dialysis.
Yeah.
Okay. When the state police had the interstate, man, wouldn't let nobody get off of it, so I had to take all back roads to get my mom there. It took her about 4 hours to get out of dialysis.
Yeah.
You know, I had one of my nephews had a friend of mine, his dog, my mom, my little sister, and then my other nephew, him, his wife and his stepson. About, I don't know, I guess it was about 5 o'clock in the afternoon, it just started drizzling, and, you know, it got a little cloudy.
Yeah.
You know, no problem, you know, and it sun had come out, a little cloudy, sun had come out, started drizzling a little bit. So then once my mom got out of dialysis, you know, I loaded her back up in the van.
Yeah.
And it kind of somebody just started spaying like a light sprinkle at the time. So my little sister had called us on the phone, you know, and said, look, y'all come up here. Talking about here in Franklin.
Yeah.
We said, okay, well, we headed that way. You know, as soon as we can get everything all done down here, we coming. So we all loaded up, came here to Franklin. By the time we got to my little sister's, you know, it started kind of coming down a little bit harder.
Yeah.
Wind started blowing a little bit. So we packed all up, you know. She lived in a little one-bedroom shack.
Yeah.
Okay. And, well, I'll tell you about that in a little while. But anyway, like I say, man, we loaded up. We came through Franklin here. They had the police everywhere out here, you know. So then we turned up kind of northerly to where we went down there to Tyler, Mississippi.
Yeah.
Tylertown, Mississippi is the name of it.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and then we stopped this park, you know, and then started pouring, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Wind started blowing, and so we gathered our stuff up, and we took on off. And man, like I say, when I had my little sister, my nephew, and me, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, that's how we were on the highway, you know.
Yeah,
my nephew,
each other, yeah.
Yeah, we were just all following each other. Dude, all of a sudden, I'm looking through the rear view mirror, and I can see trees just falling behind us. That's when I got on the phone, called my little sister. I said, look, because I didn't have my nephew's number in front of me, you know.
Yeah.
And I called my little sister. I said, look, you need to call little Wesley, which he was my nephew. I told him, I said, look, you need to call him and tell him he needs to speed it up. You need to speed it up, because behind us, it's coming.
Yeah.
And man, like I say, trees were just coming down, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and man, so we went a little bit further west, you know, and it sort of like calmed down a little bit. So, you know, then all of a sudden it started picking back up a little bit. So we went a little bit further. We stopped this other park. And it was, like I say, it was semi kind of cloudy and kind of sunny, you know. And we were standing there, standing inside in this ranger thing. So, and we was watching the television. So
yeah.
The woman told us, look, we're closing the park down because Katrina's coming this way, too. Dude, look, we all loaded back up. And man, look, we had to dodge trees, all kinds of crap.
Yeah.
Bro. And I'm like, man. So, after we went a little bit further, the weather started getting pretty decent. Then we turned back toward the south, you know. Once we turned back toward the south, the sky went open again, bro.
Again, yeah.
And man, it was like, oh man, is this a big mistake? We all driving down the highway trying to hold our steering wheel, dodging trees laying in the road and stuff like that. And so police, we kind of, I guess you'd call it a semi-town, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I mean, it was a little bitty.
A little bitty.
A little smaller than this place, mm-hmm. you know? And so the police stopped us and made us go to the school.
Yeah.
And me and my nephew and my buddy and his dog was with him.
Yeah.
We were sitting out in front of school while my mom and my sisters and my other nephew and all them were in the school there, you know. Me, I'm sitting there, like I say, bro, wind gets blowing. All of a sudden, I see this tree rocking back and forth, back and forth. Then, man, all of a sudden, I saw that second. I walked in there. I got my mom. I said, come on, we getting out of here. I don't care what these police say.
Mm-hmm.
So I loaded my mom up and got my little sister and all them. We took on off.
Yeah.
We got a little bit further. Finally, it started kind of calming down, you know, some. You know, and it's like, oh, okay, you know, this storm's got to be over. Because basically what I was trying to do, I was basically trying to go around it, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Then what I was going to do, I was going to come back up, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Once it
behind
passed.
Behind it. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But, man, that didn't work out.
Didn't work.
No, man, look, do. Right there off of 16, okay, we're coming back down 16.
Yeah.
There are trees laying everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
So we turn to like down on Highway 10, like going to my little sister's. They had people out there on tractors, chainsaws, just cutting a path to where people can get through.
Get through, you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
And I'm like, shh. But man, I tell you what, after Katrina, it got somewhat hot.
How long did it take before you managed to get back to your house?
Well, let's see. I stayed there at my little sister's for 2 weeks,
mm-hmm.
okay, after Katrina.
Yeah.
Okay, so, because they wasn't letting nobody back in St. Tammany Parish right now.
It was all locked down, wasn't it?
Yeah, everything was all locked down.
Yeah.
So I was there for 2 weeks. Finally, they opened St. Tammany Parish back up.
Yeah.
And so I said, well, I'm going to go home and check on the house. You know, I told my mom for my mom to stay there and all that stuff, you know. And so me, my nephew, and my little girl and my son made it back then, you know. And then so we took off. And like I say, man, we had to cut ourselves in, you know what I'm saying, down our road, because they had light poles everywhere, you know, that fall, and they just had all kinds of crap. I got back to my house, you know, and stuff, and I had a big old giant pine tree sitting dead center of my house.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
What
you going to do? You know what I'm saying?
Not much you can do, is it?
That's it, man. It just really ain't much you could do about it.
The house was gone.
But look, I'm going to tell you what. If people don't believe Katrina was a bitch.
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
I ain't never seen a bitch before.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know.
I mean, that ain't no kidding, man. Mm. No kidding. No.
And the bad news, you were telling me before that you couldn't get anything on insurance because they said it was flood damage.
Insurance company wouldn't give nobody nothing.
Yeah.
Man, they were screwing people left and right, man, after that storm.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It's not easy, is it?
Look, as long as you had tons of money,
man,
why do you think I'm living under this damn bridge?
Yeah, that's because of that. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That was your
savings, wasn't it? The house.
I'm a poor man.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm living under a damn bridge, bro.
Yeah. Yeah.
Been here for 4 years.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, I just don't know what to tell you about shit like that. You know what I'm saying?
Not much to say, is there?
No, no man. And then that shit over there in New Orleans, the Lower Ninth Ward.
Mm-hmm. What was that?
That where a lot of people were dying and stuff. Man, they were shooting at the rescue helicopters.
Yeah.
You know that?
Yeah.
Them niggas were. You know why? They wanted to get in them drug stores.
Okay. That's not good.
Yeah.
That's not good.
Yeah. That's not good at all, man. I'm like, what a bunch of idiots. Man, the military is trying to bring in water and food, shit like that.
Time like that, everybody's got to pull together, do the right thing, don't they?
Yeah. Man, you should have seen, man. The pictures, I mean, if you ever go find you a movie on Katrina.
Yeah, I've seen some
and just watch.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah.
Where people were swimming in water where they had shit floating around. You know what I'm saying? And urine and all that.
Well, everything went bad, didn't it? Nothing worked. No, everything was backed up and
shit. Thank God. What got me is I had a swimming pool.
Okay.
You know, one of them big blue blow-up swimming pools?
Yeah, one of those bubbles.
Yeah. Had water in it.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we flushed our toilet.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's a good way to do it.
I mean, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm like, man, I wonder why Katrina didn't take this.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's strange.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's strange.
Yeah.
It takes the house.
I mean, it was just sitting there.
It was just sitting there, yeah.
You know? I'm like, well, you know, I mean, I got 3 rooms.
Mm-hmm.
I got a bathroom, a living room, and a kitchen left.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? On the whole damn house.
Mm-hmm. But the house eventually got condemned, didn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. St. Tammany Parish condemned it.
Yeah.
Damn asshole.
Yeah.
You know, I can't stand that son of a bitch, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, you know what I done?
No.
Look, right after that, see, they had a hearing down there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so they sent this guy from the parish.
Yeah.
Okay, take pictures. My cousin and all them, they were out there. I said, Mo, watch this. Kevin Davis was our parish president down there. I said, Mo, watch this. Hey, man, come here. So, you know, he's standing around taking pictures of our place.
Yeah.
Peep, peep. Take this back to Kevin Davis and tell him, kiss my ass.
So you gave him a moon.
Boy, did I. Look, look. My cousins and all them, look. My cousin, my nephew.
Yeah.
All them said, man, this, look, I pulled my drawers down the whole nine yards, bro. Tell Kevin Davis he can kiss this motherfucker for me, you know. And then, 2 weeks later, you know, they gave me a court date to come down there. So I brought my old assistant. I told my old assistant what I'd done.
Yeah.
So the old guy, he was there.
Yeah.
See, my old assistant didn't believe it.
Okay.
What I'd done. She said, no, you didn't. You didn't do that.
You didn't do that.
So the old guy walks up and says, yeah, I remember you.
Yeah.
And he walked, and my older sister standing right next to me, he said, look, he said, when you walk in there, don't pull your pants down and tell them to kiss your ass, because these people will put you in jail.
It won't help.
You know? And my older sister, you crazy son of a bitch, you did do that. Yeah. I said, yep, I sure the hell did.
Sure did,
You know? But yeah, man, look, my oldest sister, I'm like, God, man. But you know, if they'd have given me the insurance money, I could have rebuilt right there. What you gonna do?
Hi, mate. Thanks for sharing your story anyway, mate. And thanks for your time and your hospitality. Yeah.
No problem.
Really appreciate it. And you know, like I said, you know, you catch up with me wherever I am and
I'm on Facebook. Now you got my number too. So, you know.
Thanks, mate.
Oh, yeah. No problem, my friend, no problem, you know.
Well, there it is. I said goodbye to Jeff, and I headed out. I actually knew where I was leaving, walking to that next day. I was walking to Amit City, and I was I'd already made contact with a friend of mine, Milka. Her sister lives there with her family, and I was heading there to spend a day, maybe even a rest day there. And that's where I am at the moment. I'm here in their house on outside Amit City in the forest. And I've just spent some time recording this. I'm trying to relax a little bit today. I don't have an internet connection out here, so we'll see if this goes up live today or tomorrow or maybe the next day. But it'll be out there on the blog podcast reasonably in the next day or two, I would imagine. It won't take too long. I'm enjoying some great hospitality here, just relaxing, trying to take it easy, and getting some clothes washed, which will be absolutely great. From here, I am not sure if I'm going to head towards Baton Rouge or if I'm going to head above Baton Rouge, heading out towards Houston. A few interesting things happening. I received an email from a guy that I don't really know that's been following me for a while, and we've been exchanging emails. A guy called Charlie. He is planning a bit of a walk himself, a bit of an adventure to collect money for charity for wells in Africa, and he said he might be able to come out and join me in Houston and walk with me for 2 or 3 weeks, which would that'd be interesting. He's very welcome. I'll let you know what happens. We'll see what happens if he turns up or not. And that would actually be quite good, because it's going to be heading out from Houston towards Austin and then out towards the west. It's going to be the start of the warmest and hottest period of the walk. The planning hasn't been really great. I'm going to end up walking through Texas, New Mexico, and Arizona in the high heat of the summer. So that's it's not the best bit of planning. It will be good exercise and good training and to check out the possibilities of walking through the desert parts of Australia that will be coming up later on in the walk. So I suppose there's always that. But anyway, so it might be good to have some company there in the beginning of that hot season to make sure that everything works correctly. As always, I hope everything's going great for everybody, and I hope you continue following me, and you know you can follow me over here on the blog. You can also follow me on Facebook and Instagram. And for those people in Sweden that can do it, I appreciate if you try to listen to the podcast through the Acast app, so we can get that spread out as far as possible. And I'll let you everybody else know as soon as that becomes more available internationally. I'll let everybody know. But I'm feeling great. I'm slowly heading west. And as always, enjoy life and keep walking.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.